Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we got a special guest, the rare and elusive regional operator of Eugene, Oregon, Miss Kate Lonstrin. She finally made it on the red couch after months and months of resistance. She got the courage, she faced her fear head on, and I applaud that. And this is our final installment of Mob Madness. Kate tells us a little bit about her time as lead mob. She was one of the first two, along with Jake Daniels. And then the mob boss, or mob mom, as she liked to call it, she was the first of those to ever be hired. Somebody that many of us just really respect and admire. We laughed, we cried, we reminisced, talked about the future, and Shane and I both left pretty inspired. So here we go. Without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Kate Lonstrin podcast. Shall we?
Here we are.
God.
18 years later.
Kate Lonstrin is finally on the couch, people.
It's about time.
Have you been hearing all the call-outs?
We've mentioned your name more than once.
I've been ignoring them. I don't know why I'm so scared.
Kate's about to have a panic attack, guys.
Britt told me 5 deep breaths.
Oh, totally. Yeah, she did it. She was calm and relaxed. You were there in Colorado, right? At their yoga retreat they just did?
Yeah, it was amazing.
How was that?
I'm not the biggest yogi person, but all the things that we were doing unnumbed my knee.
Wow.
Like there was a lot of like pins and needles and stuff. So like, because I don't needles, really.
Pins and needles. Let's talk about this because you and I ran the Hood to Coast relay together.
We did.
Back in, what was that, 2014?
Yep. That was
what
5 years ago. I think my soul died too.
Yeah. But we finished.
We did it.
That was the most grueling 24 hours. You said knee pain. So did it start then or before or after?
No, it actually happened when I was in Colorado for Mason's opening. Stepped off a good old ladder getting stuck and a little slippy dude on my knee.
Blew out.
Blew out.
Okay. But the yoga helped.
The yoga helped, yep.
Okay, well, we went down that rabbit trail long enough. Welcome to the Dutch Bros podcast. I'm so happy to have you. If you couldn't tell from everything we've already been saying,
yeah,
we got to go with the classic question. When did you first start drinking as an employee or a customer at Dutch, and what do you drink today?
Ooh, as a customer, it was definitely a surprise, but I always got an iced white annihilator as the surprise, no matter where I went.
Surprise
it was
me.
Like, I'm like, oh, this surprise tastes the same.
It was just a mandate. If anybody asks for a surprise, it's an iced white annihilator, every time.
When we used to have ice kickers on sale
versus
the hot drinks that were like the price of the medium ice drink.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think I was getting around the loop. I didn't know there was an actual discount on the kickers. I was like telling all my friends, I was like, guys, order it like this. They'll give you a discount. No idea.
It's like, no, they just think you're cute. That's all it is. You get the pink straw.
Oh boy. I don't know with my bowl cut. I don't know if that was it.
So but, is it still iced white annihilators or?
You know, after the Dutch 15, I had to drop everything.
Been there.
I'm a little up and down. I go between an iced decaf black or a keto cold brew. So it's
extreme opposite.
Back and forth. Today I did have an Americano with heavy whipping cream. I just like the way it tastes.
Yeah.
So Kate. Yes. Tell us, when did you get hired?
Yes, I was a regular. I was actually one of Danielle Thompson's regular, or what's her married name now?
Oh, yeah, Hyler.
Hyler, okay.
Danielle Hyler, yes.
Her and Megan Watkins were my go-to peeps.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Out at River Road in Eugene. Blaine was my boy, too.
Nice.
In high school. I tried for about 2 years to get a job on and off.
What?
You know, I was in high school. My availability was like 5 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. and 10 to 11 p.m. So yeah. I was a little confused why I wasn't getting hired until
okay,
now.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I tried in high school and then freshman year of college, 2010, I got hired.
Were you going to Lane or U of O?
I was going to Oregon.
Nice.
Undecided. I wanted to be in law enforcement, but Oregon had nothing for me, so I took scuba diving, basketball, some sociology classes.
Did you have grants or scholarships or anything?
No.
Or it's just like, I got to go to college. It's like what they tell you you have to do.
Yeah, I went to a college prep high school, so that was definitely something you need to
do. Something you have to do.
Did you get credits beforehand?
You know, Hooked on Phonics didn't work for me, so I wasn't in those AP classes to get the special credits. But yeah, Oregon was the only school I applied to. Luckily, I got in.
I didn't. I did.
It's okay.
It's all right. I pretended I do.
Yeah, go Ducks.
Yeah, die hard.
Oh, yeah, I totally got rejected by U of O. It's awesome. I'm alumni.
Yeah.
I tried to go. Yeah. Danielle Heiler.
Heiler now, yeah.
And Megan Hawkins. Oh, yeah. They hired you.
They didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was just their regulars.
Oh,
was
my gosh.
All right, so who finally let you into this nut
house? Oh, boy. Bounced around to stands, and it was kind of like that wild goose chase, like, oh, I think they're hiring over there. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I ended up at Chambers, and Ron was working.
Hey.
Ron, for those of you who don't know, was the regional in Eugene at the time. Mm-hmm. And I pull up, and I'm just like, hi, I'm Kate Lonstrand, and I heard you guys were hiring. And I put out my hand to shake it, and he's like, okay, like, awesome, nice to meet you.
Here's my laminated resume.
Here's my resume and my profile picture. He goes, actually, you should go to this stand, because they're hiring. It was Big Y.
Mm.
And I roll up, and Lance was working.
Risser.
Hey. He's like, oh, hi, you're replying. You seem cool.
What a nerd.
This is my Lance voice. Love you, Lance. He went to the window, opened it, and then the assistant manager was working at the time. Her name was Ella. And she's like, oh, we actually have your resume. And then I got a call for an interview, and they asked me to come to the warehouse behind the stand. And it looked really creepy. It just seemed like a really, like, sketch thing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I got an interview. This is the best thing.
How nervous were you?
I was more nervous than in this seat right now.
Oh, wow.
And that's saying a lot.
Wow.
Because there was no microphone. But yeah, I was walking in, and college freshman, very nervous about like my appearance because Dutch Bros is just filled with beautiful people.
Oh yeah.
And this gorgeous girl walks out of the interview and I was like, oh, I'm done for.
Oh, I've Lord.
I got my Bermuda shorts on and my blouse still, and I tried to straighten my hair a little bit. I still don't know how to do my hair. But I walk in there. It was Ron, Jonah. I think Sean DeLay was in there.
Oh, yeah, DeLay.
And they asked, like, what was playing in my CD player at the time. And I was like, oh, Jason Mraz? And they're like, oh. I'm just glad I didn't say country. And then we started talking about video games, and I think that's what got me hired.
Okay.
There you go.
Played some Call of Duty.
Oh, gosh. Sean DeLay, if he had anything to do with it, you
the interview
probably fell in love with you right there.
Turned to us, too, and they were just sitting and watching. We were talking about, like, gamer tags.
There you go.
He was my roommate for a few years. Man, he had a big old, like, sub and speakers in his the room right next to me, and just all night. It's like, all right, man, Sean slaying zombies.
Oh, yeah. But I'm pretty convinced that and Lance probably were the two reasons I got hired.
Amazing. Here we are.
Here we are.
So it started at Big Y.
Big Y.
Now, did you grow up your whole life in Eugene? Or?
Yep. Born and raised. Yeah. Never moved.
That's so wild. I guess at what point does it kind of click in your mind you want this to be a long-term career goal for you?
First few weeks of training, I'm in the shower and I'm like, I don't want to go to work. I'm scared. How am I supposed to remember everybody's drinks, their prices, and be fast? And like, then like you get trained for a few days and then you're by yourself. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Have nightmares that I can't pull the right shots and stuff. Yeah.
I still have those nightmares. I've been out of the shop for like 5 years.
Yeah, it happens. The first few weeks I was definitely nervous because this was like a dream job.
Yeah.
The Big Y was one of the slower locations.
Yeah.
So you got to have like a really good connection with the customer. Like you could sit and talk for 30 minutes. There's no rush to get them out. So you got to know your customers really, really well. And I think that's something that definitely was like, whoa, this is an unreal job. Yeah. You can't just get this everywhere and you can't have that connection and you get to listen to music and make coffees. But I think it really hit when I started training. I knew I loved it, but I didn't know why yet. Mm. Like there was magic, but I couldn't pinpoint it. And then I just started hanging around. I didn't want to be like the weasel in the background, but I was kind of always there.
Or just like a fly on the wall.
I was a fly on the wall. Yeah, you know? Like I'd say like,
don't mind me.
5-6 months, you know, and I was like, okay, like this is something I could see myself doing for a while. Assistant position opened up and I applied for it. Didn't think I was going to get it.
And you did?
And I did.
Woo, for Big Y?
For Big Y, yep. But yeah, I think just the more I got involved and like saw what the company was about rather than just the coffee and the music is where I fell in love. And I don't know, like there's just been crazy things that have happened in my life in the past and like the connection you get to have with customers and like literally just being that smile for it. Like, I don't want to cry, but it's like, it's crazy what we can do just out the window.
Totally.
You know, like.
Okay, you actually are crying.
I'm crying. I don't know. It's just like, And that, like, getting those stories of, like, customers emailing it and being like, you literally saved my life. Like, that stuff is just, it's easy. Like, it's easy that we get to do that.
Building relationships. It's being there for people who have no one to be there for them.
That's the thing that definitely, like, hooked me in, that I knew, like, it's going to take a lot to get rid of me from this place, you know? So it's just like, now you're stuck with me. But sorry, I choked up a little bit. But like, that's just like the, it's just cool to be that somebody for people that don't have it.
You don't think you're doing much, but sometimes it's massive.
It literally changes the world. It sounds cliche, but it's like,
it's amazing how many people still will go to Dutch Bros even when their world is seemingly shattered.
I think of those like safe place signs. They have, I don't know if they have those in Grants Pass, but they have them in town. Like, if kids are going through something, it's like a safe place for them.
Wow. That's in Eugene?
They have them on like 7-Elevens, I feel like random places where it's called.
That's
like,
not the safest place.
it's not. Idea behind it, I always think of that. It's like those guys that like come and hang out and they just need some extra love. Warm hugs.
Warm hugs all around. Kate, I feel like giving you a hug.
Oh, gosh. Come here.
Well, and my goodness, so assistant manager is definitely a big step. I'm assuming you managed at one point, but specifically regional manager for a while in Huge. Tell us a little bit about regional manager. What all were you doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I look at my regional experience. I did it for 3 years, kind of like in slices. Like the first year I did it, I was kind of just tagging along Ron and Jonah, and they were showing me the ropes. And we also had Holly Fierro got hired around the same time as me as well.
Yeah, Holly Fierro.
And so we were kind of the two like learning from Ron and Jonah. Like they had all the wisdom. Mm-hmm. Pretty much followed Ron's footsteps and like actions he took. And I was the trainer before. So the regionals were in charge of doing the 4-day training. So that part I was like, all day.
Got you.
Let me do that, you know? Coaching for sure. I didn't realize how important it is to like guide and empower the leadership team.
Yeah.
Cause in my mind, I still wanted to like know what was going on in every barista's life. It took a lot to realize I need to focus more on like the leadership team and like pour my cup into them. And that was definitely the hardest part, I think, to realize like where my main focus goes, you know, because I wanted to be a part of everything and I wasn't supporting the managers as much as I could have.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is really what my role is. Give them as much knowledge and stuff that I know to help them thrive. And seeing them go through that definitely was like, wow, I could have been a lot better of a manager. Like, some people might think the higher you up, the more big, bad, bossy you are kind of. But like, I definitely wanted to have that open door of communication for like the crew. So I feel like a lot of times if the crew was wanting to talk about something, they could come to me and then we work it out, and then definitely keep the managers in communication or like have them involved. But I feel like the last year of my regional felt like a mama bear.
Yeah.
Where I was just kind of making sure everyone was good. Third year was definitely the hardest because it was like the most responsibility I had. And
because at that point, hadn't Holly went to work for Kevin Murphy? And
yeah, Holly moved, I want to say like 6 months to a year in. Ron and I were rocking it, and Mike Dice.
Dice.
He came in after Holly left. So it was a cool like phase of Ron was training Holly and I. And then kind of like as the years went on, it was like Ron and I were helping Dice get his feet in there and get a little wet. I don't know what I was going to say there, but it was really cool because we had like a crazy trifecta of personalities where I felt like we were a pretty powerful leadership team.
Yeah, you guys were a squad.
Yeah.
I mean, I sense there's a lot of nurturing in you. I mean, especially with initially a desire to go into law enforcement. You're a protector, like you said, mama bear.
Yeah.
A hero, one might say.
Nope, we're not going to go that far.
a hero. You've been in Eugene your whole life. That's such a part of you. And obviously Dutch Bros have become such a part of you. Regional manager is amazing.
Oh.
And yet, all of a sudden, there's an opportunity to be in the lead mob.
Yeah, that was pretty trippy.
Yeah, this is our focus for the month of March being Mob Madness.
Mob Madness.
So we got to start talking about mob. So what made you want to just be like, hey, I'm going to be a lead mob now?
So when I actually applied for regional, didn't think I was going to get that either. And it was around the same time that Lance was applying for Street Fighter Mob or whatever it was. And like
Street Fighter.
Whatever.
Hadouken.
Freedom Fighters.
Freedom Fighter, yeah, no, that's all good.
Yeah, so he was applying for that. I was following the mob around. I didn't know they were the mob at the time. I just knew they were cool guys that carried around some speakers and worked hard.
Yeah.
So Lance was going for that, and I was like, this seems like such an awesome gig, but I just applied for regional. I got regional. Freaking awesome to see Lance get that because I'm proud of him. He's grown a lot. Confident man now.
You got your feet on a coffee table he built. I mean,
whew, it's nice, sturdy.
That's our boy.
So like MOB is always something that I was into, but I got this awesome opportunity to be a regional where I was like, there's no way I'm going to leave this. Like
hometown.
Hometown, yeah. Living it up. So I was like, okay, the MOB's never going to happen in my life because back then, it feel like it was like assistant manager, regional, and then you franchise. MOB wasn't on that, like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
So 3 years into regionaling, we're at Summit. People are coming up to me like, will you work my opening? And I'm like, okay, sure. This is weird. Like, I'm going to lead their opening. I don't think that's in the cards. And then comes to find out Lance was telling people that I took this position. That I didn't know I took it. Yeah. And he like sent me some stuff over the months before, like, you should check this out. Might be something you're interested in. He's a cheerleader of mine. But I was like, no. I need to think about that. But all of Summit, he started telling people that I
took this
job.
He's like, no, you really need to check that out.
I had to pull Lance aside and go, what's going on? What is this? And he's like, well, you know that thing I sent you? Lead MOB, check out the job description, that kind of thing. Hasn't happened before, but we think you'd be great at it. And I go, okay, perfect. Yeah. So I'm sitting there. He's like, we need to make a decision this week while you're at Summit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so here we are. I'm looking at like leaving home. And will my mom approve? Can I see them still? I don't know what's happening. I feel like I'm getting
shipped
off. I'm
going to prison.
And so I decided, I was like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah. So thought about it, and I'm just kind of one of those just let's just freaking send it type of people. Like,
send it.
Even when I don't think I'm ready, my lifespan of Dutch Bros so far, I've just kind of sent it with things, not really thinking I was capable. And I sent it with this one and had a nice tough conversation when I let Jonah and Brittany know, and we were on a boat. I was just bawling. I like waited for like hours, and I was just like, I'm going to take the job. I'm so sorry. And they're like, we know. Like, you're fine. Like, you're perfect for it.
Do you hate me?
I felt like I was breaking up with them. Yeah. It was heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I took the job, and it was a phenomenal choice, I guess. Yeah. I learned a ton.
Yeah.
I've never worked so hard in my life.
Oh, you want to be in a lead MOB.
Oh, man.
Better be ready to work.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of learning because they've had those roles, but not
official title.
An official title and like expectations. Still figuring out where we sat. And Jake Daniels was the other lead MOB. So, we never met before. We come to training, figuring it out. We do the four-day training and stuff like that.
Breaking news from Dutch Bros Coffee.
Hey, this is 1980 Shane here. Go rock down to Electric Avenue to your local Dutch Bros and try out one of March's featured drinks, the Electric Berry Rebel. It's a tubular blend of lime and blue raspberry. You can get it iced, you can get it blended. Can you feel it? Can you feel the electricity? Yeah, woo! Woo, radical, yeah!
Where was your first trip?
Everett, Washington with Mama Squail.
Oh, tail.
Oh, man. I was like, this is a perfect trip because she knows what she's doing.
Like, they should have really tested you.
The second I joined the MOB, I felt like I forgot everything I've done the past 6 years before that. Help. It was really cool because the MOB at the time, I knew a lot of them like wanted to step up into that role.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting transition. I didn't know how people would take it because I've never mobbed.
Yeah.
They were training me. The team was incredible. They literally took me under their wing. They put full faith in me.
What's like one of the main things that you learned about yourself from your time in the MOB?
I learned that I doubted myself a lot.
Mm.
I think self-confidence was definitely a struggle.
Really?
Yeah. Leading a team of like incredible people and like being on the road and being responsible for a grand opening. That was something I was always like doubting myself. I'm like, I don't deserve this spot. There's so many people that are way better than me. And like, that was something that was always in the back of my head. So I think that was just like the biggest battle. And like, I'm still overcoming that stuff. You know, it doesn't go away.
What are some ways that kind of help you quiet that voice? Because it's a lie.
I think just reminding myself there's a reason that I was there, whether that's having a positive effect on somebody or like teaching somebody something, knowing that I was bringing value in one way or another.
Or even just rolling your sleeves up and just getting dirty.
Getting,
and just
in getting there. Things done. Setting the example. I like to work. I like to get in there. So if it was that, you know, I don't know if I learned, but I realized how bad I was at communicating with people back home. sure. while I was gone because I was just on a trip and that's where I was.
Yeah.
And I get
yeah.
home and everything's, I'm like, you're married? You got a boyfriend? You have a baby? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, where have you been? I'm like, I've
in
been
the moment.
I've been living in the moment. Yeah. So that was probably another hardest part is like just coming home to like,
yeah.
not losing relationships, but not staying consistent or like following yeah. along.
Not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, getting better at FaceTiming.
Hey, there you go.
That
yeah.
helps.
So you were lead mob for a while, and then eventually this role of mob boss came up.
Yeah.
And
the Don.
Yeah.
Don.
Gonna make an offer you can't refuse. I'm gonna join the mob here with Kate Lunston.
Explain that role and how you kind of got into it. And what did you learn from that?
Another one of those, Lance gave me a call, sent me a job description.
What does a mob boss do for
mob
people
boss,
who don't
you
know?
Boss things. It was like the mob bomb.
Yeah.
It was, you got to protect all the babes and be the voice and like kind of the median between what was going on the mob, what was going on with HQ, the lead mobs, kind of keeping everybody connected. I guess you could say the glue. I feel like everyone has their piece of glue in the
structure.
The job description he sent me was pretty much almost identical to the things that I was telling myself that like I'm not good at. Everything yelling at me saying you need a different kind of challenge and get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a challenge because we were kind of creating that role as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw more of you.
Yeah,
it was nice.
I mean, you were usually at the desk, mob boss down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, hey. I like to think of myself as a doer rather than a thinker. Mm-hmm. And it definitely had me thinking a lot.
Yeah.
More so than doing. But it was fun because you got to like set up the structure of how we want to train and how the mob is going to get better. And it was cool because like the lead mobs, even some of the mobsters too, like put in their two cents of where we should see it going. And it was cool to be part of the bigger picture of how we can make the company better.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I was still fresh when I was leaving there, but it was just cool to be part of something new and like kind of create a new role.
Yeah.
It's funny on this company how many things just go full circle. Because your first lead mob mission was in Everett for Teal for her grand opening. And now Teal came back here and kind of took the mob boss role.
Mob mom.
Mob mom.
Yeah.
Speaking of full circle, you were offered to be regional operator in Eugene.
Yes.
Your hometown.
My hometown.
Seven
LeBron
shops.
James S. coming back
home. Yeah, coming back to Cleveland like LeBron.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was pretty trippy because when I applied to operate, I was lucky enough to get an interview. They were asking where I want to go or timelines and that kind of stuff. I was self-doubting myself again, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to operate for at least a year. I understand like if someone else wants to take this spot, but I just wanted to be super transparent because I was just getting into the mob boss role and it was something that I really cared for because the mob has like a special place in my heart and I wanted to do what I could to help that. So that was in March, I think, and then in June, Jonah asked me to hang out, and I said, okay, after my little video call or whatever, I'm having a meeting. And I met up with him, and we were just driving around, and he just parks at the River Road stand and looks at me and goes, will you take over Eugene? I was like, what do you mean, take over Eugene, Jonah? And, you know, he was, like, building up, and you could tell there was something on his mind. In the past, like, we've talked, the dream would be for me to go operate somewhere, and if Jonah and Britt weren't franchising forever— that one day I'd hopefully be able to come back to Eugene. So when he asked me that about like 10 years early, I was like, what do you mean, Jonah? And he's like, we think you'd be the best person to step into this role and take over Eugene. And that just, I was like speechless. And I was like, for sure, like down the road, you know, like, no, like right now we're not doing this anymore and we want you to take it.
Yeah.
We need you to think about it because we kind of need to know soon. And I said, okay, can I call my mom? I don't know why. I mean, that wouldn't really change my, like,
I'm sure she's awesome like, yes, come to, home. My gosh, what are you waiting for?
My mom's like my best friend.
I feel like one of my favorite things about you is before you make any big decision, you just like, I got to talk to my mom.
Because
I'm the same way.
She's got my back with no matter what, so it wouldn't be a no. But that was like my first instinct. And he's like, sure, but don't tell anybody else about this right now. And I was like, okay. I'm driving home and my phone is like blowing up. What's going on? And I pull into my driveway and Lance calls me again. He goes, so you talked to Jonah? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's your decision? And I'm like, I literally saw him 5 minutes ago. And he's like, well, we kind of need to know right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm in the office with the coaches and Trav, and we need to know. And I go, okay, I'll take it. Like, I'm like, okay, like no thinking whatsoever. Like, it was the thing I needed to do.
Yeah.
Still learning a lot. I don't think I'm going to stop learning, but it was definitely a terrifying thought of
sure,
that.
Really.
And then I just remember going to my mom's and telling her, I'm like, I'm moving home, even though I didn't move away in general.
You were just put that here there. Working
like,
a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to be here. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm always going to be here until I'm not here. And she's like, my baby's coming home. My baby's coming home. But that was pretty cool.
Oh, man. Amazing.
But yeah, it's definitely been a hard challenge. Like, Brittany and Jonah are some of my best friends.
Yeah.
And my biggest role models. So it's huge shoes to fill. Not even a quarter of the way into them yet, but
yeah, I haven't had a year yet.
I took over technically in September, but yeah, I'm just super lucky to have the role models that I have, because they've prepared me a lot. Yeah. And the experiences, like the mobbing, we didn't have any like grand openings or anything, and we have an incredible crew already there. Like, my regionals, Mike and Asha, were a godsend, because I had knee surgery the
That's
month
right.
that I started in Eugene again. So like one of my biggest things is being present, and I was not present whatsoever. I was just the girl behind the phone sending out messages and stuff, and that was super challenging because a lot of the crew didn't know me, and they thought that I could be like this big bad boss coming in. So it was like really hard to not have that face-to-face communication with people, because I was knocked out for a little bit. So Mike and Asha definitely like welcomed me back into the fam and like let them know my history and like that everything's going to be okay. And they've been the best support in the world.
Awesome. Sure, you've had to lean on some people just coming right into Seven Stands, but you've had such a foundation there that it's like they know you and they know your heart.
Couldn't be the most perfect, craziest scenario ever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to be excited for, you know, like it was something that I like dreamed of for years, and like coming into it, like I'm just now starting to feel excited.
Sure,
you know, it was definitely weird, like stepping into that role.
And it just happened.
It just happened. But it's just crazy how like things align, and I get more and more thankful every day and like more comfortable in Eugene. But it's definitely really high expectations. They set the bar high.
Yeah, totally. I assume you guys like still stay in touch then, like Britt and Jones?
Oh,
and,
yeah. All the time.
Well, yeah, because you were at their yoga retreat.
Yes. They're such a great support for me, too. Like, if I need anything, they're there for me, and I'm always going to lean on them for things, because Britt's teaching me how to be a woman.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of advice they could give you now that you're sitting in, like, that seat.
Yeah. One of the best moments was when they came to the Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you guys do it?
That was awesome. The DAC in Eugene. It's like an athletic club, but they have conference rooms upstairs.
Oh.
But yeah, it's been a crazy trip.
Yeah. 9 years now?
Yeah, 9 in September.
Time traveling.
It's time flies. I can't even believe it. I was just a little young pup 5 years ago. I was like writing like, I want to be a franchisee in 5 years. This is my goal. And I trippy that's here. And I feel like I'm like, wow, there's still a lot of work to be done and like a lot of time to be had. I'm like, why did time go by so fast?
What's something in the next year or so that you're really looking forward to as this role now of regional operator, Eugene?
There's a lot of things. I feel like I'm not even operating. Definitely like a team effort, which is cool. Sure. But like getting more used to my role and my responsibilities, just doing more family-oriented things, like silly things like Taco Tuesdays and stuff like that at my house, you know, like or Brinner's, because that's stuff that I like to do when I was back in Eugene consistently. I don't want to leave empty promises like, yeah, let's do that next week. But it's not going to happen because I don't have my stuff in order. But like just more family gatherings. Definitely feel like there's a lot of people that don't know each other. And that's like the best part about Dutch Bros is like your family. And like we just have meetings and invite customers over and stuff like that. So just more family oriented stuff, I guess. And I really want to dive more into events. We love the senior nights, but that's only like 1 month out of the year.
Right.
Culture Crew. We started it before I left Eugene.
Oh.
And it's something they were doing awesome when I was gone. And then when we came back, it was like figuring out what's going on and what we were doing. So it just kind of got lost. But it's pretty much based on like, I want to open it up, not even to just Dutchies, but volunteer work and doing things in the community outside of Dutch Bros. Like, it doesn't even have to have our name on it type of thing. But when you get hired, you interview people. And why do you want this job? Because you're so involved with the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So not necessarily a donation request, but like a volunteer request form that people can like fill out. And then have a team that wants to do that volunteer work and like kind of have a few things each month would be really rad to be able to provide. I'm not a planner. So if someone plans it for me and is like, okay, this date it's happening, that's happening, like, yeah, I'll sign up for it. But I think that's something that happens a lot, especially with college kids in our areas. Like if it's provided and like I can just put my name on it, yeah, I'll do it. But the planning part is the hard part. And that's my biggest weakness, but got a good team for that too.
Who is your planning team, would you say, right now on the Huge?
Oh my gosh. Lacey and Cassie help a lot. Lacey bounces between the office and Stan, and Cassie's one of our office managers. They help a lot with donations and events. Yeah. But they're great party planners.
A party planning committee?
The party planning committee, the PPC. There's people in the stands that are like super excited for this stuff too. We just don't know how to attack it.
Yeah. Sure.
We got to develop it.
Yeah.
And it was developed.
You got a mob mom it.
We just need to bring it back.
Yeah.
And it's a cooperative for like high schoolers to get their volunteer hours. Like, come hang out with us and pick up some trash.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kate.
Yep.
I've been calling you out for about a year now to be on the podcast. Not just because you're a great person, but because so many people look to you as a role model. And I do as well. I think you're one of the coolest people.
Oh, gosh.
And you've done so much. And you have such a giving heart. And thank you so much for finally getting on.
Oh, yes.
I appreciate it.
That means a lot, though. And it's an honor to be here. And I know I've been running from it. Almost didn't come today.
I know.
That's another very respectable quality you have is you clearly eventually face your fears.
Did you tell your mom?
On.
No, mom doesn't know about this.
Ooh, I can't wait for her to hear.
So we always kind of like to wrap it up the same way. If there is one piece of advice you could give our audience or our barista audience, what would it be?
One piece? I'm more of a three piece kind of gal.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a one piece swimsuit I like to wear.
Nice. Gotta have those.
I think one thing is just stay true to yourself and who you are because no matter what you do, if you're doing it with a full heart and care about what you're doing and take care of yourself, you're going to do it to the best of your ability. That's a piece of advice.
That's a good piece of advice.
You guys are staring at me and I'm talking.
I'll look the other way if it helps.
I think another thing is just go for those challenges and don't be scared. Most of the time it turns out better than you could imagine and you just got to send it.
There it is. That's the piece of advice. Just send it. Just
face send the fear, it. Send it.
It's a faux send. Can we redo this whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to start now, actually.
I'm Kate Lonstrand on the podcast today.
Was that an impression of me?
I'm Mark Berry. Welcome to the red couch.
What's mine? Spot on.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for putting up with my chatting.
We appreciate you.
Hey, also too, we've got a fresh Dutch Bro podcast shirt for you.
Yeah. Shoot, I'll come on here every week if I get myself a free shirt.
You love them deals. Kate loves them
you
deals.
You got about 200 of them I can bring home to my friends.
I think there is.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah,
for,
but no.
They're for you our guests.
Thank you guys. There's a lot of buildup.
But Dutch Nation, Kate Lonstrand.
Kate
love you guys.
Lonstrand. Love you.
Boom. There it is, folks. What better way to end Mob Madness than with Miss Kate Lonstrand? Been quite the journey she's had. But like she said, you know, she's always stayed true to herself. She's always stayed positive. And there were times where she doubted herself. But in the end, she just sent it. And sometimes that's what it is. You know, you want to be calculated, you want to be precise, you want to be thorough with your decisions, but when opportunity comes, sometimes you just got to go for it. And more often than not, if your head and your heart's in the right spot, it ends up better than you'd ever imagine. So thank you, Kate. Appreciate you. So as we transition out of March, April, springtime, growth is going to be our theme, particularly growth within the company. There's a lot of new positions, a lot of new operators, a lot of new regions. So we're kickstarting it off with the brand new regional operator for Fife, Washington, Megan Neimeyer. It was an honor to get to chat with her, and Fife is going to be opening up very soon. So how exciting. More locations, more opportunities, wins all around. So until next time, take it easy, Dutch Nation.